going to put it very simply, very crudely. I don't like this podcast to take on a crude tangent. I got to show off my sculpted physique. Blaine Gabbert? Don't you have to know what the hell you got in Kyle Trask? Blaine Gabbert? What are you smoking over there? Blaine Gabbert? I'm not letting Brady do that.
Buccaneers fans, here he is another week on the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira. Sage, you are presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, and they have got massive discounts going on right now. You can check that out at BillCurryFord.com and a brand new ad at JoeBucksFan.com. They are adding $1,000 to the $500 bonus cash from Ford, and Sean Sullivan is going to give you a $500 gift card for ordering a new vehicle. No deposit. And GM Sean Sullivan is there to help you personally. And if you're not buying, you just need body work or service, he will take care of you as well. BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford's a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. They are home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Very special. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, we got a lot to talk about. We'll talk about our other friends at Big Storm Beer and the great new offer from Florida's Elite Restoration. Josh is really hooking up Joe Bucks fan readers and listeners. But Sage, let me welcome you. A very busy day at One Buck yesterday, and a great revelation by Byron Leftwich. But Sage, how are you feeling?
I'm doing well. Dropped another pound. Look out. I might need a whole new wardrobe in a couple of weeks, Lee. Might need a little extra stipend in my check, the Kemper. Just giving you a warning. You know, clothes are expensive. You know, goodwill goes only so far, Lee. I might have to actually go out and spend a few shekels on some shirts. I can't have them too loose, Lee. I got to show off my sculpted physique.
Dead silence.
I rendered the Kemper speechless over there.
I didn't know how to respond to that.
All right. Well, I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. That's Lee DeKemper, as Iris says. Of Joe Bucks Fan, and we're fired up for the podcast, which of course is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, many other platforms, and at JoeBucksFan.com. We thank our many thousands of listeners. Ira, there's so much to choose from here. The offensive coaches were talking, and Tom Brady's doing stuff, and it's all over the place. So much to bite into. I think I'm going to take it football first, Ira. Football first, as we kick this thing off. Byron Leftwich yesterday, Ira, said something very interesting and telling, and there were two things, really. Very impressive from Leftwich, because usually he doesn't say too much, but yesterday he was on a roll. He really made it very clear that the Buccaneers have had two different offenses and two different situations in 2020 and 21, and he said it was based on how defenses are playing the Bucs. And that things changed, so the offense changed, and he basically expects it to change again. And he spoke about Tom Brady throwing for 10,000-plus yards and 83 touchdowns. He had that number in his head over the past 2 years. It just flew off his tongue, and it was pretty much Leftwich, and with other things he said, was basically saying, look, it's my offense. It's different every year. We're adjusting to the defense every year. But at the same time, he said, no, we're going to be status quo, because Bruce Arians was not part of this offense. And I don't know where you guys got your red pen stuff. And it wasn't like that. I wouldn't have tolerated it. And it's been my show. And Bruce was not doing stuff that would craft a change for 2022 in his absence. So, Sage, what do you think of all that? And Leftwich's confidence and just the admission that, yeah, it was a very different offense because of the defense.
Steve, I think one of those points has some credibility. And one is utter nonsense. The one with credibility is I never believed that Arians came in on Friday with a big, magic marker and put Blacklock through the game plan that Brady and Leftwich came up with. And I'm not sure that I'm wrong saying Brady's name firmly in that regard. No knock on Leftwich. You're working with Tom Brady. There's only been one of them in the history of football. And you'd be silly not to give Brady a lot of input, but the idea that there was this big chasm and rift between Leftwich and Arians I never believed that. So I'm glad that Leftwood spoke to that. Lee, the nonsense part, that makes absolutely no sense. This notion that, the Buck offensive game plan changes from year to year, maybe even game to game. Well, what's the big change? Brady throws 42 passes a game in 2020, and Brady throws 42 passes a game in 2021. They don't run the ball. They're in the bottom five teams are running the ball, mostly because they got Brady. And not that they can't run the ball, because I think that part of the offense, Lee, has grown dramatically with the growth of the offensive line. They can run the ball. They choose not to. I don't have a problem with it. Neither do you. The only team that outscored them was Dallas, and it was by a minuscule amount. I don't see a huge difference in the offensive philosophy, Lee. I don't know what Leftwich is talking about.
I think that's absolutely common sense. If you're doing the same thing week after week, game after game, you're going to get screwed over by somebody. I mean, we're talking the NFL here. We're not Big Ten football where if you do something different, the defenses, you know, have no ability to adjust. But that's just me, my personal DNA. You adjust all the time. Now, it may be subtle differences, may not be massive differences. But if I had to choose anything that Leftwich was being candid and honest about, it would be that. Yeah, I mean, to me, that makes sense.
Well, he might be talking about some subtle things, Steve, but I'm talking about an overarching offensive philosophy. The Bucs throw the ball all over the joint, and they're going to do it again this fall.
Oh, yeah, that I agree with, Ira. But I firmly believe that if you looked at their game plans, each week there was differences. If not, that doesn't say a whole lot about Leftwich, and frankly, it doesn't say anything about Arians either.
Yeah, Steve, you know, you take advantage of the upcoming opponent's weaknesses, no question about it. But Brady's still going to throw 40 passes, Steve, unless he's hurt.
Ira, the thing you said that really resonated with me and should resonate with anybody. Tom, we're going to do this. Is that okay?
Yeah.
the offense should go through Brady, should go through his head. Anything he wants to do, you do, because he's Brady.
He's Brady.
Well, Sage, I mean, look, I don't really buy that Arians. Why would Arians not come in and say, I don't like this and this? Why would he not do that? They're not all a bunch of yes men. Bruce Arians is never a yes man. So I never believed that Arians wouldn't walk in after having a great chance to look at all the film and study the game plan that they came up with and say, I don't like this and I don't like that. Why would he not do that?
He can offer his opinion, but I don't think he'd put his foot down and say, we're not doing that. I think you still got to talk it over with Brady and Leftwich, but you offer your opinion. I got no problem with that. But the suggestion was that he was ripping up the game plan. I don't think he would do that, Steve.
I don't think that was the suggestion. I think the suggestion was he came in and said, "Scrap this. This sucks. That guy can't run this play. These three are out." Why would Bruce Arians not be that candid guy who would come in and say, F that, this sucks, that ain't going to work against this coordinator? Why would he not be that guy, Ira?
What you just described is ripping up the game plan. I don't believe he took it that far. Why an offensive coordinator and then undermine him and talk up this guy like he's the next great head coach in the National Football League?
Let's say, just say, for argument's sake, three plays, comes in and says, scratch that, this sucks, take that out. Why? How is three plays ripping up the game plan?
I still think it's a heavy hand. Give his opinion in front of Brady and in front of Leftwich and let them hash it out. But ultimately, Leftwich is the offensive coordinator. Shouldn't it be Leftwich's call?
Well, I'll lay money, Ira, that Todd Bowles does exactly that. We're already hearing about, you know, we're going to be running the ball more. We're going to be tougher more. Clyde Christensen all but admitted it yesterday. I bet you Todd Bowles does that. And are we going to hear rumors pop up come January that, you know, Brady couldn't stand Bowles because Bowles was tinkering with the offense? You know, I don't know. But the tea leaves are already pointing that Bowles is going to be involved in the offense in some way.
I remember last podcast, Todd Bowles told us he will make the call on third and short, not fourth and short, third and short.
I remember, Steve. I remember. I still say overall, though, and we've heard all this nonsense about offensive balance. Lee, I used to throw that concept up to you. You slapped me around for the past 2 years. Why not do what you do best? And, you know, I've come around a little bit to DeKemper's way of thinking Because, Steve, if you're averaging 29 to 30 points, and now you're doing it over two full seasons, the offensive line is strong. The running game's good, but not great. You know, and unless Chris Godwin, you know, is out till Thanksgiving, I'm not sure I'm making any major adjustments at this point.
Quick question, Ira, and I know what you refer to as balance, and I really believe you believe the literal term is balance. Are the Bucs, at least personnel-wise, the closest you've ever seen to defining what you refer to as balance? Not that they will be, but they could be, but the personnel.
I think they could be, and I think by the end of the championship season, the postseason 2020, they ran the ball darn well, Lee.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that was when Fournette was flourishing, you know, taking over for Ronald Jones. That's as close to a balanced offense I think that Buck fans have seen during the Brady era. It was pretty darn effective. But, Steve, I still got that number 42 in my mind. 42 pass attempts, average. Doesn't mean every game, but average. Some games it's 50. Some games it's 33. 42 is a big number, Steve. It's the biggest number in the National Football League with a 44-year-old quarterback. It's the biggest number. And I don't think that's going to change markedly.
When you said 42, Ira, I immediately thought, what's Ronnie Lott got to do with this?
Could have been Jackie Robinson or Ronnie Lott. That's right.
Ira, the Rams won the Super Bowl last year. Where did they rank in total yards and yards per attempt on the ground?
They didn't have much of a running game at all. I mean, Cam Akers was hurting. They got the Henderson kid, Sony Michel. I would say the Rams were below the middle of the pack.
They were 25th in the league in yards per attempt and total yards. So not much of a running game there. Obviously, they relied on the pass. You know, you don't have to be balanced to win, as we just see it over and over and over again. But I thought it was a little bit interesting, Leftwich putting his foot down to say, it's my offense. It's been my offense since Jameis got here. And he really wanted everyone to believe that, you know, Bruce Arians has been hands-off since day one. And obviously Leftwich was pretty new in the job period from day one with Arians. And so that's kind of interesting as well. It would make you believe that Leftwich was probably very much lobbying for Jameis, because if he was sort of in charge, he wanted a second year to tweak it and to make it right.
I think that's the point where Arians did put his foot down. He did wreck the game plan, if that was Leftwich's game plan, Lee. What was to bring out, indeed bring Winston back for year two. That's where Arian stepped in and said, I've seen enough. These last two games, we could have been 9-7. We lost to two lousy teams at home, and I'm blaming Winston, and I'm sorry, Byron. He ain't got it, and we're moving on. I think that's where Arians did make the call.
All right, Ira. Now, fans are going to need a beer when I bring this next subject up. So we have to remind them that they only should be drinking Big Storm beer. Florida's best craft beer is Big Storm beer. The Bromosa, their tangerine IPA, is the top seller. You can find it in stores all over the place. And of course, you can go to BigStormBrewery.com and punch in your zip code and find out where to buy all the Big Storm beers and see all the Big Storm beers, the Wavemaker, Amber Ale, on and goes the list. And they're great tap rooms in Odessa, right there off State Road 54. Fantastic food. Great dinners at Big Storm in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton. Food's incredible. Orlando at the Amway Center, accessible 7 days a week. And in Cape Coral, coming soon to Ybor. You got to follow Big Storm on Facebook. Each location, you can see the live music listings and the specials. And just check them out, BigStormBrewery.com. Ira, basically, Clyde Christensen stood up there yesterday after Byron Leftwich said, it's an open competition. We don't have any numbers on these guys yet. He stood up there and said that Kyle Trask is a project, that they're going to give him a lot of reps in the spring. But then when training camp comes around, then, you know, we got to get the veterans ready to play, and that there really is no competition for backup quarterback. And Kyle Trask is doomed to the bench yet again without even the threat of competition here. What's your take on all of that? And I'll throw in, with your take, if you could throw in, should the Bucs, as they sit here all in for 2022, after hearing Christensen, should they have traded Kyle Trask on draft night to try to get another body to help win this year?
Steve, when you brought this subject up, I wish I was sitting at Big Storm Clearwater right now. I'd have a Kolsch in my hand. And, Lee, I need a Kolsch in my hand after what Clyde Christensen said, with you sitting in row three, not believing what your ears just heard. I never said that Kyle Trask should automatically be given the backup job to Tom Brady. But what I did say until yesterday is that there should be a strong, open competition in training camp for who backs up Brady, who suits up on Sunday. And, Lee, now I'm hearing 2 months before the team gathers for training camp that the competition's over. This thing is over. It's a first-round knockout by Blaine Gabbert. And, Lee, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Christensen also characterize Gabbert as a winner? A guy with a lot of positive pro experience. Lee, I think the numbers are 13 and 35. Now, he played for some bad teams. But, Lee, especially with Arians out of the picture, we know what Arians thinks of Gabbert. With Arians now a consultant, the Blaine Gabbert mystique still, you know, a shroud hangs over one Buck Place about Blaine Gabbert? I'll throw this to you with this remark, Lee. Tell me where I'm wrong, Mr. DeKemper. This tells you a hell of a lot more about Kyle Trask than it does Blaine Gabbert.
I agree. And I'm not anti-Kyle Trask. You know, people think I am. How can I be? What evidence is there that he can't play? There's no evidence. So I don't know how I could be. That's like, you know, how can I hate a certain book when I never read it before? So the people that claim I'm anti-Kyle Trask, I don't know what to say. But the fact that Kyle Trask is in his second year, mind you, not that he's a rookie, in his second year, has no business being in competition with Blaine Gabbert, has Kyle Trask fans fully and completely triggered.
As they should be, Lee.
I agree with you. Iris says more about Trask than it does about Gabbert, at least I would think. And I'm not saying Gabbert's the next coming. I mean, you drafted a guy, I understand, 64th pick, but he was a second-round pick. And into his second year, you're not even thinking about giving him snaps in practice to make sure that he could be in competition with Blaine Gabbert. That tells me you wasted the pick, that maybe he could have been picked in the fourth or fifth round, that you should have drafted a cornerback that might have been able to help you. I'll just say this about Trask, and I think this says as much about Trask than it does that he's not getting any competition with Blaine Gabbert. Of every quarterback that was drafted here, there were 10 quarterbacks drafted, Ira. I'm talking the entire draft, not first or second round. I'm talking the entire flipping draft. 10 quarterbacks. Kyle Trask is the only one who's yet to take a snap. And, oh, by the way, he's never worn a Bucs uniform on game day.
Sage, let me say this. I am anti-Kyle Trask. Absolutely. Everybody can mark it down. I am anti-Kyle Trask. Why? Because the Bucs are anti-Kyle Trask. Todd Bowles, Jason Light, the whole crew of them, and the coaches, Leftwich, Christensen, because they're basically telling us they're anti-Kyle Trask. So I'm down on Kyle Trask. Absolutely. I mean, I haven't seen him play, but they have. And they don't believe he's capable of competing with Blaine Gabbert. It's outrageous. And they're trying to say, oh, it's another development year for him. Third string quarterbacks, they don't get a lot of opportunity to develop. That's the problem here. Very few snaps in practice, snaps in training camp that don't mean very much, and limited time in preseason game against anybody who's pretty good. And Brady's a guy who actually plays in preseason. And now there are only three preseason games on the schedule. Kyle Christensen was trying to sell to us yesterday, well, you know, Gabbert, he was a first-round pick. He's a talent. Well, then why don't we bring in RG3 in here, or a Jake Locker, or a Christian Ponder, where, you know, Blake Bortles is on the market. I mean, don't sell us nonsense. It does speak a lot about Trask, and I'm anti-Trask because the Bucs are anti-Trask, and I think they should have gotten rid of him if they didn't think he was capable of going in and slugging it out with the immortal Blaine Gabbert. Because keep in mind, Ira, Bruce Arians retired, if we believe his line. He retired because Blaine Gabbert is so bad, he couldn't hand off Todd Bowles to Blaine Gabbert.
Steve, you made some tremendous points, Stevie. Bravo, tremendous. Two things from me, Lee. One, in terms of trading Trask, Lee, I'm going to put it very simply, very crudely. I don't like this podcast to take on a crude, tangent, but...
Why not? Everybody else is crude.
Lee, Kyle Trask has zero trade value.
Bingo.
Zero. And Steve, I'll add one more point to the many good ones you just made. Maybe my biggest one of all. You got to be planning for life after Brady. This is going to be Brady's last year in Tampa. That's the way it looks. It's a freaking 90% deal here. This is it. I don't know what the hell he's going to do after this. Could go to Miami, could go to the booth in Fox, but he ain't going to be here. So, Lee, with that in mind, don't you have to know what the hell you got in Kyle Trask? At that point, starting in February of 2023, when you're evaluating life after Brady, you're not going with Blaine Gabbert. So, to Steve's point, Lee, if he's the backup, wouldn't you be much further ahead in your evaluation of Kyle Trask, unless you've kind of, Lee, already made a determination about Kyle Trask? That's kind of sick.
Two things real quick, Ira. Christensen yesterday confirmed the Bucs were ready to rock and roll this year with Blaine Gabbert as quarterback, had Tom Brady not had his rapture. That's number one. Number two, I will quote once again my favorite quote, from the great Mike Florio. Silence invites speculation. The fact that with Kyle Trask for 1 year, the quarterback coach still cannot tell people anything about him after having him for a year screams they made a mistake.
Sage, hold on. I got to get this out there because I think a lot of fans may have driven off the road already. And just before they pass out, I got to say this. Kyle Trask, you don't know that, Ira, that absolutely nobody can say he didn't have any trade value. Nobody can say that. There were three quarterbacks taken in the third round this year, and the Patriots took a quarterback at the end of the fourth round. And we don't know that none of those teams would have been interested in wouldn't have been interested in Trask in that spot. I mean, Atlanta drafted, what the hell's that guy's name? I was just reading about him. The guy from Cincinnati. And the Patriots drafted Bailey Zappi. And you look at Matt at the end of the fourth round, Mac Jones is kind of a Kyle Trask type of quarterback. Maybe they would have been interested in him as a backup developmental guy better than Zappi. I don't know that, Ira. I don't know if the Bucs tried, but I can't say they couldn't have coughed up you couldn't have found a late third or mid fourth round pick for him.
Come on, Steve. What are you smoking over there? Third round pick for Kyle Trask? Come on, Steve. If I'm another team, Lee, I'm 31 other teams. What's the first thing I'm thinking about? Kyle Trask couldn't even compete with Blaine Gabbert, and I'm going to give up a pick? Come on, Lee. Come on.
I tend to believe that if he was tradable, I'm in the middle with both you guys. I see both sides. It very well could be the Bucs didn't want to trade Trask for a fifth-round pick and admit they blew it.
We'll never know, Sage, but it is very interesting, and I'm rooting for Kyle Trask. I hope he gets a chance to show what he's got against Blaine Gabbert. I hope he creates a little controversy here, but the whole thing is weird, and I don't know. I just you almost got the feeling listening yesterday that they value Ryan Griffin more than Kyle Trask.
I think it was Clyde Christensen last year. Maybe it was Arians. I can't remember who. But someone said he's another Brad Johnson. Well, you know what? Brad Johnson got the Bucs their first Super Bowl. So you're damn right I hope he becomes next Brad Johnson, because that means there's going to be another boat parade at some point in the future.
If he's Brad Johnson, that's a hell of a late second-round pick. I'll say that.
Damn right.
Ira, do you think it's fair? Given Tom Brady's obsession with winning and, you know, you would think his incredible knowledge of quarterback play, do you think it's fair to say that Tom Brady sort of maybe gave a thumbs down to the organization on Kyle Trask and said, maybe I don't think the kid's got it. I don't think he can compete with Blaine. Don't waste your time.
With all due respect to the Brady effect and the, you know, the clout he's got, I'm not letting Brady do that. I'll take his opinion and I'll talk it over with my coaches, my general manager, maybe even my owner. But I'm not letting Brady pick his successor. No, sir.
Well, I'm rooting for Kyle Trask, Ira, and I'll point out, I just looked it up. This I don't have at the top of my head, but I had to look it up. Brad Johnson was a 9th-round pick and did not play in his first 2 seasons. So all is not lost for Kyle Trask, but the organization is sort of telling us he can't compete with a bad quarterback. So it's a little strange. All right, Ira, I got to ask you.
Steve, you better clarify something for Bucks fans, because I know this is going to get feedback. How can you be anti-Kyle Trask, but then you're rooting for him?
I'm anti-Kyle Trask because we tell people all the time, trust Jason Light, trust the organization. They've developed players. They know what the hell they're doing. And they're telling us that, you know, be down on Trask. So I'm anti-Trask. I don't want him in there if they don't think he's any good. But, you know, secretly, not so secretly, I'm rooting for him because I'd like to see everybody succeed. So there, that clarifies it.
There you go, Steven.
All right, Sage. Florida's Elite Restoration has a brand new offer, Ira, for Joe Bucks Fan listeners, Joe Bucks Fan readers, Ira Kaufman podcast listeners. Florida's Elite Restoration, we all know already that's your first phone call when you have a disaster in your home. If you find mold, if you have storm damage, if there's a flood, whatever it is, fallout from a fire, you call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. They're going to come out to your home to give a free assessment of everything going on. They'll bring out their technology and let you know what you need to do to proceed. Free. However, if you proceed with Florida's Elite Restoration, and let's say it's an insurance claim, or even if you're paying cash to have them do the work that needs to be done, Florida's Elite Restoration will now give $500 back to you if you use their services in the form of a credit after the job is done. And maybe you use that to offset your insurance deductible, or if you paid cash for Florida's Elite Restoration, they're just going to give you $500 back. But you have to mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira Kaufman before, not afterwards, before when you sign up with them. So Josh Martin, the owner there, Ira, he's got 14 years experience in the insurance industry as an adjuster. So he's helping people not get ripped off left and right. And now he's even doing even more for your listeners.
I'm not surprised Josh Martin is making some unbelievable offers at Florida's Elite Restoration. Josh Martin knows what he's doing. He's a great leader. Florida's Elite Restoration.
Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Tom Brady, it's announced that Tom Brady, a man who wants to spend more time with his family, who's shooting movies, and he's running to South Florida to hang with Michael Jordan, and he's building a house, and he's selling clothes, and he's all over the place. Now we find out he signs for when he retires, similar to what Drew Brees did with NBC. Tom Brady signs what's reported as a 10-year, $375 million deal to be the number one analyst in Fox's booth. And some form of, quote, ambassador for Fox, meaning he'll probably appear on all kinds of programs and online and pop into Fox News to talk about a sports topic that's big, or he'll be on the Fox Business Channel checking in once in a while on some sort of a business topic. And so he's been working that deal. And my question for you is, what do you think of it? And the bigger question is, do you think that all the smoke regarding Brady with the Dolphins and other chatter like that was maybe just a ploy to push Fox into giving him this deal? And, was just a smokescreen to try to get more money out of Fox, thinking that he might go in a different direction.
Lee, it's unbelievable how these things develop. I think it's 2 months. It might be 2 months to the day, Lee. 2 months to the day that I was in the hotel room at the Bellagio, thanks to your generosity. The day after Brady announced he's unretired, Chris Russo's producer called me when I was in Vegas and asked me to come on the show to talk about Brady's announcement. And Lee, I listened to the Mad Dog's rant that day, and it was 15 minutes of nonstop. I've had enough with Brady. I got Brady fatigue. Lee, when I got the microphone, so to speak, I lambasted Russo, told him that there's 3.5 million people in the Tampa Bay area that don't give a damn what Russo thinks. They're in love with Brady, and they don't have Brady fatigue. Now, Lee, 2 months of the day, I've got Brady fatigue, Lee. I have it. I understand now. Russo was talking about, Lee, enough is enough. Enough. TB12, golf tournament, Fox broadcast booth. It might have been a fumble. The Grand Prix, building a house. I just care about this guy as a football player. I don't want to read anything about Brady other than he's the Buccaneer quarterback. He won't talk about the crazy speculation about Miami. He won't talk about him and Arians. Won't do it. I'm a little on edge about Brady going into this season. Who the hell cares what he's going to do about life after football? Buck fans shouldn't care.
You and I are we're outliers. I certainly had Brady fatigue and Belichick fatigue and Patriots fatigue and creepy Bob Kraft fatigue until Brady came to Tampa Bay. Then I was all in on Brady, and I can't get enough of Brady. But these networks, they do research. There's a reason every time you turn on a TV, whether it's NFL Network, whether it's Fox News, what have you, there's a reason why you're seeing certain programming, because they've done research and it shows the general public wants that. These places aren't in business to give people what they don't want, and, you know, generally speaking. So people like Brady, and they're giving him Brady. I never understood that until he came to the Bucks. But Steve brought up something I really didn't think a whole lot about. This contract it's got to be much more than just you're working 20 weekends a year. Here's 300 and some odd million dollars. He's going to be doing regular appearances on Fox and Friends. Like Ainsley Earnhardt isn't enough to look at. They're going to bring Brady on there. Mr. Matinee Idol. He's going to be on Fox Business, as Isbit said. Lord forbid he might even show up on Hannity, which I'll never see. And more importantly, how much you want to bet there's some deal within this deal that he's going to produce X amount of shows/movies with his production company for Lack, Murdoch, and his boys.
Steve, DeKemper's making a very smart point. A deal of this magnitude and the fact that Fox in its announcement went out of its way to talk about Brady doing things for Fox beyond the broadcast booth. It's not the booth that's pushing the Fox brand, and Brady's going to be very involved in that. That's why he's worth that kind of money.
Absolutely. I mean, Tom Brady's on the TV. A lot of people are going to pay attention. You know, maybe they sit into the, you know, broadcast an extra 6 minutes and they watch the commercials. You know, it's more than just the football. But Ira, and I got to ask you this, and it makes me laugh sometimes with these guys. And Brady, obviously, he tries to be a regular guy, but he's obviously obsessed with himself and he's got a huge ego and is trying to build an empire. And that's totally fine. 100% fine with that. But the guy just spent, and you know, and it's his own personal business, but he made it very public, telling us over and over again, I'm missing all this treasured time with my kids and it's harder and harder. And I gotta, you know, I want to be there and this time I'll never get back and all this stuff. And he's playing family man talking like that. And now he's basically, as a Fox analyst and with COVID issues disappearing, I mean, if he's going to cover a game in Seattle, he's flying out Thursday night. Friday morning, he's at practice. There's production meetings. Saturday, they watch the walkthrough. And then Sunday is the game. I mean, the guy's going to be traveling 20-something weekends. And that's fine. But he keeps telling us he's Mr. Dad. If his kid says, hey, can you come to my my baseball game on Saturday? He's like, no, what the hell are you talking about? I got to be in Arizona. You know, it's just the whole thing seems a little weird. I never know what to believe with Brady. And he pretty much at least told us that 90% of what he says to the media is nonsense.
Lee, this guy's not going to be Ward Cleaver over here. He's more Lumpy Rutherford than Ward Cleaver.
I was going to say Eddie Haskell.
Eddie Haskell. You know, but Steve, he's entitled to do it. I mean, you know,
sure.
He's worked so hard all these years, and he's entitled to have the kind of life he wants. Now, Lee, I need you to straighten me out here.
Oh.
You usually, you know, keep me grounded.
No.
I've been kind of hinting about this, and I might be overboard.
You're too young for you, Ira.
Is it fair to even suggest that Brady has renounced 100% all-in commitment to the football team, whether it's in Foxborough or at One Buck Place? Lee, is it crazy to suggest that that might be frayed a little bit, that he might not be totally committed and he's heading into his last season and whatever happens, happens, and he already knows what he's going to be doing afterwards? And it's gnawing at me a little bit that this might be a Brady that we haven't seen before.
Real quick, before I touch that, I just want to say this. I thought it was classic, and it's about the Brady and Fox subject. Dan Dockett, who does radio for in Indianapolis and video for Outkick, and for non-Indiana basketball fans, he's probably most famous for being the only guy who ever shut down Michael Jordan. Dan Dockett said about Brady signing his big deal with Fox, "You talk about a guy that doesn't want to be home. He was home for 6 weeks. He's like, no. I'm going back to football." Then he signs this deal, like Steve said. He's going to be gone 4 days a week for 20-some weeks a year minimum. That doesn't sound like a guy that wants to sit around and be dad.
Are you worried about his commitment, Lee?
I don't know about his commitment, but you bring up a point that it has crossed my mind. Are the Bucks really all in this year?
You would think so, Lee.
Look at some of the moves and non-moves they made. Now, the previous 2 years, heck yeah, they were all in. This year, for better or for worse, they're letting JPP and Sue walk. It sure seems that way. I mean, you probably could. I don't want to hear about this depth at receiver. Bucks didn't have any depth at receiver come playoffs last year because of injuries. One of the best receivers is hurt. Rumors have it until after Thanksgiving. You didn't really address that in the draft or free agency. And I understand they didn't have much money to play with. You're banking on two young guys to get a pass rush with. That would be Logan Hall and Joe Tryon. Both of them largely unproven. Gronk, you don't know about. And don't give me this third-round draft pick tight end as a rookie is going to be Gronk-like. I just don't get the feel they're all in.
Well,
I mean, they may say that, but there's too many questions there for me to believe they're absolutely all in. If they were all in, they would have gone out and got not just Russell Gage. They would have got another starting caliber receiver. If they were all in, they would have found someone, a veteran, proven to take either JPP's place or Sue's place to try to get a pass rush. And I know there's a few weeks left before now, between now and training camp. I just don't get the impression they're all in. I get the impression they're 75-80% in.
Steve, how can you not be all in Brady's final season? How?
Well, I think Gage was an all-in move. The Bucks, I've asked about this, I asked Jason Light, and I've looked into it myself. I've never seen a team, and Light didn't have a team for me either, that's has three receivers on the roster getting paid $10 million or more. Gage is legitimate, and if Scotty Miller's healthy, and that was addressed yesterday, if he's healthy, he's certainly capable of making big plays. And I don't know how many receivers, good receivers, Lee, would have wanted to come here. If you're a good receiver and you've got, Russell Gage, Godwin, and Mike Evans. I mean, if you're a guy who's going to command $6-7 million, you're not going to get any catches. You know, so I don't know if they could have done any better really at receiver, except for addressing it in the draft, which I would have been all for. It's tough. I mean, if we believe in the organization, then we probably have to believe that they think JPP is washed out. So I can't knock him for that. Sue is a mystery, and maybe they're playing the game of chicken with him. I mean, he's yet to, like Iris said many times, you don't hear Sue linked to any other team. So maybe the Bucks are going to sort of sweat him out.
It sounded great. But he never practiced what he preached. But I always liked what Raheem said. Now, Ira says Mike Tomlin said it. I never heard that, but I'll agree with Ira. But I heard Raheem say it. I'll tolerate you until I can replace you.
Right, right.
I believe that is a wonderful, wonderful motto to live by in the NFL. Okay, JPP's washed out. Well, get someone better than him then. Did they?
You know,
I don't know.
Lee, what am I to make? Because Izbitz gave me that line last week. He said that about me. So that got me a little bit nervous.
Well, Steve, you know, Izbitz is fending off phone calls, so be careful, Ivan.
Steve, just give me 45 seconds on whether I'm off the rails to even suggest Brady may not be his normal 100% committed.
I think you're off the rails. I just think there's no evidence that Brady can't handle distractions, although this is a new level. It's a new level, and I get it, what you're saying. But if this is Brady's last year, which it seems like it is, I mean, I think he's going to just give everything he possibly has with a different kind of intensity. And I think that might overcome whatever distractions he's got. But it's hard to say, Ira. It's hard to say. I mean, you look at all the long list of distractions. They're there. But, I think ultimately his family has lived pretty much under the radar of the paparazzi in Tampa. Nobody bugs him. You don't see a bunch of pictures everywhere. And I think he feels he can dial in and focus and do what he needs to do. So I don't doubt him on that.
I got a quick question for Lee. Lee, you were there at One Buck when Joe Gilbert talked about the old line and left guard. Lee, when you walked out of that room, did you still believe that it's Stinney's job to lose, or is it totally wide open?
Totally wide open, I got the impression.
It was wide open, Ira, and that's the impression they wanted out there versus Kyle Trask. Who, that's closed. That's a slam door in May. And that was, you know, a pretty stark contrast there, Sage. We want to remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford is where you shop first for any vehicle you might need. Great inventory, great general manager, Sean Sullivan, who will help you personally. And Sean is the kind of guy who, if he can't help you at Bill Curry Ford, he'll find a way to help you. Just reach out with any questions you have, even if you, oh, I want to keep my vehicle until August and then I want to make a move. Reach out to him now and Sean can give you some guidance, talk to you about the markets. BillCurryFord.com. You can find his email there. Big Storm Beer, official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. And as we heard earlier, what a great offer from Florida's Elite Restoration. Your first call, if you have any disaster in your home during storm season or any season, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right, Ira, Sage, before we get out of here, what do you make of the chatter about Scotty Miller? And were you uplifted at all? That's really the question I have for you and Lee. Were you uplifted when Byron Leftwich when Byron Leftwich was basically, and you know, coaches don't often make excuses for players. He said, look, that injury was much more serious than you guys might think. And that injury is more challenging than you think. And all Scotty has to do is be Scotty. And if the Bucks get the 2020 version of Scotty Miller back, what a tremendous asset that is, and he is in a contract year.
I do believe that regarding Scotty Miller. I think the injury lingered. He was not the same deep ball threat. Now, look, Lee, I'm not Chris Collinsworth that's treating Scotty Miller like he's Cliff Branch. I'm not going that far. But the guy was effective during the championship season, made some really big catches. Just ask Green Bay. You know, if Godwin comes back a month into the season, they've got Evans on a Hall of Fame arc. Russell Gage, one of the better third receiving options in football. And then you add a healthy Scotty Miller. Lee, I got no concerns at all about Brady's targets going into this fall. I think this will be a bounce back year for Scotty Miller.
Is it unfair to suggest Russell Gage isn't going to be lighting up the world week one? And what I mean by that is, this is not a knock on Russell Gage, but you hear about Cyril Grayson, who I think he's lurking in the shadows. That's the headline I used. I think he's going to surprise people. But it took him how many weeks working with Brady over the course of a year where he finally got on the same page as Brady? Confidence, chemistry. And to the best of my knowledge, although it may very well have happened, I don't know about it, but to the best of my knowledge, Brady has yet to throw a pass to Russell Gage, whether it's in Brady's backyard, whether it's in Montana, South Beach, at some park in Tampa. Is that a legit concern? that Gage is going to be playing inside. He's going to be playing outside, you know, slot outside, and brand new with Brady. That maybe that chemistry isn't there, that they're going to need week one.
No, I don't believe it's a concern at all, Lee. I don't think it's going to take a process of adjustment. That's what training camp's for. The difference, Lee, is Cyril Grayson hadn't done anything. Russell Gage is a proven route runner with good hands, did it over multiple seasons in Atlanta, and was playing with the Julio Jones, who was in decline. Mike Evans is not in decline. Godwin is one hell of a receiver when healthy. Russell Gage is going to flourish with Tom Brady, and it's not going to take week six. I don't believe that's a concern at all, Lee.
Okay.
Sage, I'll just throw it out there. Scotty Miller, 33 catches for 500 yards in 2020. If the Bucs get that again, I mean, that's just would be fantastic production and dangerous within this offense. Cyril Grayson, I don't know. I got to see so much more from the guy. He's got 11 career catches. NFL defenses don't, you know, are going to catch up to him a little bit from his last couple of good games. And he didn't play in the playoffs where we could have really seen him be tested. So I don't know. I don't know. But it's good competition there, which is always a good thing, I think, except at backup quarterback. So, all right, Ira, say goodbye to the people. We have another podcast coming right after the schedule comes out, which is very exciting. It's like Christmas in May, and we'll all be staring at that, deciding how the Bucs are going to go 15-2. But what say you, Sage, as I know you have an important appointment with your beauty salon, and get us out of here, Ira.
I'll leave with this. Lee, my over-under, primetime games, 2022 Bucs, five.
Well, I hope so.
Lee. It's the Bucs, baby.
That comment, Ira, it's the Bucs. 3 years ago, you would have been checked into a mental house for saying that.
Absolutely.
All right, Ira. They had five last year. Way to go out on a limb. All right, we'll see you later.